Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Not long ago, Smart Talk looked at the challenges facing Pennsylvania dairy farmers. Since then, the hurdles have gotten even higher as a distributor canceled contracts with dozens of farms throughout the region. Pennsylvania has the second most dairy farms in the country, about 16% of them in the entire nation. So dairy is part of the state's heritage and most successful businesses. But that heritage and the industry itself is struggling. Join us today is David Smith, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Dairymen's Association. Dave Smith, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Also joining us, Jane Seabright, Executive Director at the Center for Dairy Excellence. Ms. Seabright, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And with us, we're happy to have Lolly Lesher, an owner of Wayhar Farms near Burnville in Berks County. Lolly Lesher, welcome to Smart Talk.
Thank you very much for having me.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number is 1-800-729-7532. As I mentioned, it wasn't long ago, maybe about 6 weeks or so, that we had at least Jane and Dave on the program. At that time, we were talking about a trend that we were seeing of Pennsylvania dairy farmers selling off their herds, or at least selling cattle. Since then, there have been some major moves, some major events that have occurred. A large distributor canceled contracts with dozens of farms in the area, and tariffs that may lead to retaliation that could have an impact on dairy exports. So more challenges. Dave, let me ask you, describe what Pennsylvania's dairy industry is up against right now.
Well, dairy in Pennsylvania is a huge industry. Like you said, we have the second most dairy farms in the country, and it's a significant in the impact of the economy in Pennsylvania, with almost $15 billion of revenue generated by those farms. The dairy farms are under some financial stress right now because of some overproduction is what has happened, and it has depressed some prices on the farm, and the farmers are struggling a little bit to pay their bills as such, and they are working hard and continuing to manage their business as best they can. The shift in the supply chain of the milk has changed things a little bit for some of the dairy farms. Actually, Pennsylvania has been a little bit more successful in some of those farms finding markets, new markets for their milk than other parts of the country, that when that shift has occurred. More recently, a significant piece of this puzzle has come up with on a national and world level when we heard some discussions over the last 2 weeks about tariffs, and the shockwaves have gone through agriculture and the dairy industry in Pennsylvania and around the country when this conversation of tariffs with other countries begins and emerges. The United States exports $628 billion worth of dairy products to throughout the world, and it's a huge number. And this discussion of trade wars and tariffs certainly is something that is a very scary thought to our agriculture industry, and specifically dairy, because of the importance of sending dairy to other countries in the world.
So, which countries do you trade with? Does the United States, to Pennsylvania dairy products go to most often?
Well, Mexico is the recipient of most of the exports of dairy in the United States. I will say that I will add that. China is a pretty significant buyer of cheese products, not necessarily from Pennsylvania always, but from around the country. So those are two countries that are very important to the industry, the dairy industry in Pennsylvania, in this country.
But Canada, just a few weeks ago, there was the summit, the G7 summit, where President Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had a bit of a, I don't know if you'd call it an argument, some harsh words for one another, and didn't leave a good taste in a lot of people's mouths. Just so happened that the week after that, I had the Consul General of Canada on the program talking about Pennsylvania imports into Canada. Dairy is a major import into Canada, even though Canada puts a 270% tariff on dairy products coming into Canada. So talk specifically about Canada and what those tariffs could do as far as the impact it would have on Pennsylvania dairy farmers.
Well, as you said, there is some dairy product that moves into Canada. It's heavily taxed in Canada. It isn't very important just because logistically dairy is easy to get to Canada from the northeastern part of the United States and Pennsylvania. It's a very logical step to for milk to move that in that direction. Certainly, the conversation and, as you said, the words that the president had and with the Canadian leadership is very concerning to us as dairy representatives here in Pennsylvania. With any change in what's going on now that would decrease milk going into some other countries, takes off the table markets that we already have that we cannot lose. We very much need to have these markets for export, whether it's Canada or Mexico. So this tariff conversation is very concerning to our dairy farmers.
So Lolly Lesher, you follow this, your farm, and you have a market in near Burnville in Berks County. Obviously, this is how you make your living. You follow this on a daily basis. Kind of follow up on what Dave described and talk about your business individually and what you see and the challenges that you face.
So our family's a little unique in the fact that in the dairy industry, we milk our own cows, we raise their feed. We also sell that milk and ice cream that we manufacture in our own retail farm market and sell it to our own customers, to restaurants and whatever. So we are a little bit insulated from some of the challenges, but not really. I mean, milk is a globally priced product. We move a lot of product around the world. 17% of the production of the United States moves across the overseas or somewhere outside the United States. So it's very important to us how much we move and keep our export program strong. What we've seen in our local market is consumer trends have changed so much. They don't drink milk at dinner anymore. The family doesn't sit down together and have dinner as a beverage or milk as a beverage with their dinner. People aren't eating cereal in the morning, you know. That's impacted General Mills and some of the cereal companies. So our family has tried very hard to remind the consumers that, first of all, milk is a great beverage choice. It's full of a lot of nutrients. It's really good for your body. It's good for our economy. It keeps my family employed by selling fluid milk. And there are things that you get out of milk that you can't get anywhere else. And we try really hard to work within the community to remind them how important milk is as a beverage for the economy and overall for our community as well.
Why don't you think consumers are turning to milk as much as they used to? I mean, I know there are a lot of alternatives out there, and I'm not just talking about, and we'll get into this because I know this is one of Dave's pet peeves, having to do with soy milk and...
Bad word.
I know, and I'm going to have you talk about that in a few minutes, but when I'm talking about alternatives, you know, there are so many choices that consumers have today.
Absolutely.
So why have they turned away from milk?
Well, you know, if you read the beverage magazines out there, they'll tell you there are 60,000 beverage choices that consumers get to pick from every day. And unfortunately, consumers have forgotten that whole milk is 96% fat-free. That 1 8-ounce serving of milk provides 8 grams of protein, and it's 96% fat-free. And it's a great, healthy alternative. For years, doctors said, don't drink whole milk. Don't do this, don't do that. And I think consumers have stepped away from whole milk. Now we're happy to see that they're coming back to whole milk. We're seeing more and more doctors reminding consumers and parents, mothers, that whole milk is a great choice, a healthy choice for a healthy diet. That's another area we need to work on. We need to remind consumers why milk is so good for you, and it's natural. It's not full of chemicals. Milk is milk. We don't add anything to it but flavoring.
All right. So along those lines, need to remind consumers. Want to play something. This is a public service announcement. By the way, June is National Dairy Month, and it's being celebrated here in Pennsylvania. Want to play something for you.
Choose fresh, local Pennsylvania milk. It's naturally packed with 9 essential nutrients, just what you need to power through the day and fuel your body and mind. Milk also builds stronger communities, providing jobs and pumping billions of dollars into Pennsylvania's economy every year. And it all starts with you. Choose PA Dairy, goodness that matters to your family and our communities. Look for labels with PA Preferred or Code 42. Find stores at ChoosePADairy.com. Paid for by the Center for Dairy Excellence.
Who just happened to be with us today, Jane Seabright, who is the executive director at the Center for Dairy Excellence. You hit a lot of different points in that 1 30-second spot there.
We did. It was, the campaign is intended to educate consumers and make consumers more aware of the fact that dairy, choosing Pennsylvania dairy products brings a lot to your health and to the community's health in generating valuable economic dollars and good jobs for the community. Dairy doesn't just affect dairy farms or even the dairy processing facilities. It affects the whole communities, and it's really the backbone of a lot of our rural communities. It is important to note that even though it said Center for Dairy Excellence, the campaign is a collaboration of a lot of organizations, including Pennsylvania Dairymen's Association, the Pennsylvania Department of Ag, American Dairy Association, and others. And it's really our effort to give consumers what they wanted, what they want to know. When we started talking about the dairy situation, we got a lot of comments, you know, how can we help? What can we do? And the number one thing that consumers can do to help dairy farmers is to choose Pennsylvania milk and dairy products, to choose real milk and dairy products, and make sure the products you're buying are from Pennsylvania.
All right, so let's talk about that, because just my experience in hosting this program over the years, I know that our audience is, a good portion of the audience anyway, is very much devoted to buying local. And this would seem to be a perfect example of buying local. How can someone, when they're buying a dairy product, buying milk in particular, find out whether it is produced in Pennsylvania?
So in Pennsylvania, we're very fortunate that dairy is something you can buy 52 weeks out of the year locally, and it's available almost everywhere you go. You don't have to go to a farmer's market. You can buy it at the grocery store. The two things that you can look for, the first and foremost, is to look for the Pennsylvania Preferred logo. The dairies that carry that commit to having 100% of that milk coming from Pennsylvania dairy farms. So you look for the PA Preferred logo, you know it was processed and produced in Pennsylvania. If you can't find the PA Preferred logo, you can look at the plant code. It's the little 5-digit number on the gallon or on the container that shows where it comes from. And if it starts with a 42, it means that it was processed in Pennsylvania. That's not 100% guarantee that it comes from a Pennsylvania dairy farms. But since most milk that's processed comes with from within 100 miles of where it is bottled, it is most likely from Pennsylvania dairy farms.
Okay. You raised a point that I've always wondered about. Milk is, and this is an issue as far as import and export, and Dave, you mentioned the distance to Canada, how close it is, that milk is a very perishable product. When there is an overproduction, sometimes there's a lot of waste. A lot of it has to be thrown out. Why would the grocery stores, why would Pennsylvania stores not have only Pennsylvania milk?
That's a good question. As retailers have tried to consolidate their supply chain, they have gone to having one large bottling plant supplying milk to their entire chain. So they'll bring in milk from other states. It's not like it's coming from the West. It's coming from somewhere up and down the East Coast, but it helps them consolidate their supply chain. Most retailers do carry local brands, but they've cut costs by consolidating and having one large plant providing 6 or 7 states.
Is Pennsylvania milk any more expensive than any other state's milk for a consumer?
Not in Pennsylvania.
Because it's controlled.
It's controlled.
Right. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're talking about some of the challenges facing Pennsylvania dairy farmers at this National Dairy Month. If my voice sounds a little raspy, it would be even raspier. I've been talking so much lately. You know, I do it every day, but I got a chocolate milk here that has soothed my throat a little bit. So yes. Just think how bad it would be without that chocolate milk that I just had. David Smith, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Dairymen's Association. Jane Seabright, Executive Director at the Center for Dairy Excellence. And Lolly Lesher, owner of Wayhar Farms near Burnville in Berks County. Our phone number is 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@WITF.org. You can leave a question or comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let's take a phone call from Gary in Juniata County. Gary, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, I want to get into the seriousness of this, but first I wanted to tell you that with all the fake milk out there, that's one of the reasons that, you know, grocery stores have shrunk is because just, you know, the square footage is because of all the nut milks. So here's my thought of the day. If you're going to get nut milk, the only way, it says, I'm sorry, but the only way to get nut milk is for a squirrel to eat that nut and then milk that squirrel. So squirrel farms, they have nut milk.
Oh, and you know what? You just put a picture in my mind that I don't want to have, Gary.
That's Harriet's picture. It's breaking up a little bit. But listen, the lady from Burnville, she knows about kosher. You know what we do. We get guests from all over the world. They milk a cow. They get to make their own ice cream. They get to make their own cheese. I'm sorry, not cheese, butter. You know, there's things that people can do to attract guests to their farms. If any farmer has any thoughts of attracting guests, I will help them for free if they just go on PA Farms Day. We help farmers get farms interested in hosting guests. So the only other thing was Senate Bill 820 is a limited liability law, which would allow the general public to go on farms and would take some of the fear of the slip and falls on the cow pies. So, you know, we're all waiting for this big processing plant in the sky to come save us and whatever. We can save ourselves with getting guests to come on the farm. So, like I said, if there's anything that, you know, anybody would like to know about trying to get guests on their farm, just go on the PA Farms Day website. I will help them for free. I don't, you know, we don't do anything except try to help farmers attract guests to their farm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is that helpful if people know where their food is being produced?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know the farm show. That is one of the really big keys to the success of the Pennsylvania Farm Show one of the goals is to show people where their food is produced.
Absolutely. People want to know more now than ever where their food came from. And they have a right to know, and they should know, just like, quote, the nut milks. It's not milk.
All right, let's talk about that. Okay, nut milk. You're talking about almond milk. You're talking about coconut, soy.
Beverages, yes, beverages.
Okay, so the last time Dave was on, he kind of had a little conniption there when I brought that up. So, Lolly, I understand that you have the same feeling about these things that Gary just brought up.
It's so misleading to consumers. I know consumers are picking up a package of something that says milk on it, and they think they're getting that healthy halo of real milk. And when they turn that label around and read the ingredients and see all the things that are in that product, that's not milk. It's nowhere near the health qualities and nutritional value of real milk. But they get to use that word and mislead consumers. I had a lady in my farm market one day come in. She wanted to buy almond milk at my farm market. I'm like, we don't do that here. She says, well, it's just almond flavored milk. I'm like, you need to read the label. That's nothing like at all what you're buying. So, yeah, it's a sore point for most of us because it's so misleading.
Bottom line, okay, even though it may not be milk, it is a choice of another beverage for people.
Oh, it is. Sure, it's a choice as long as you know what you're buying.
So there is legislation within the federal government. The Senate has introduced a Dairy Pride Act that would require FDA to enforce milk is milk labeling. Right now, almond is allowed to label it as almond milk, even though it's the definition of milk is that it comes from an animal. So the Dairy Pride Act would actually require FDA to enforce the definition of milk. And we are encouraging anyone who wants to write in to encourage that legislation to go right through. Right now, it's sitting there and it needs passed.
Well, I don't even want to think about Gary's squirrel milk that he brought up there. You know, that's Linda from Holmestown's a good question, and she's right. We mentioned a couple other dairy products, but why not talk about some of the others like cheese, yogurt, butter? And she also says her neighbor grows soybeans. Actually, the other products, from what I understand, other than milk, are doing pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay, so what's doing particularly well?
So cheese is growing. Cheese demand continues to grow. People are eating a lot of cheese. One of the examples that Lolly said that is hurting milk is restaurant sales. Well, restaurants use a lot of cheese, so cheese sales are growing because of some of those trends. Butter is also a trend that is growing. Dairy fat is becoming more and more popular because those healthy fats are shown to be very good for you. So butter is back. Butter is very popular. That is growing. Yogurt continues to see strong sales because of the protein. Those products are growing.
We have an email here from Rick in Harrisburg. Says, I've always been puzzled by the minimum price for milk in Pennsylvania. While I appreciate the plight of dairy farmers, my grandfather and uncle were dairy farmers in Nebraska, it would seem to me that lower priced milk would drive up the amount of milk consumed. Milk at $2.99 a gallon competes with other cheaper drinks. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll jump into that question a little bit. Milk is a staple, and I'm pretty convinced that people will buy the milk that they want for their table, for their cereal, whether it's 10% less or 10% more. It's something that's needed for the children, for their health and everything. I will say that there are some price minimums in Pennsylvania that some other areas do not have, and there is a very strong reason for that, and the retailers actually request that. The purpose for that is that other states around the country have sometimes price wars over some milk, and they provide them as loss leaders. So what has happened is having a price set like that is it has taking the loss leader and the price wars out of the situation for retailers, and the retailers do not want to deal with that. And I will specifically say that some of our smaller or local businesses are fearful of some of the larger chains and retailers and the power they could have over loss leader situations could be quite devastating to some of our smaller retailers in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Email from another listener says, I think that losing agriculture, including dairy farmers, is a national security concern. If we cannot produce our own food, we will be dependent on other countries for food. It was my understanding that the cheese and powdered milk distributed by the government to needy families was partially due to the American dairy farmers producing excess milk. When there has been extra milk in the past, wasn't there a government program to make it into cheese or use it for something? Also, to weigh in on the larger conversation, I don't like to drink milk because it makes me more thirsty when I drink it, and it costs more than other things per ounce. He covers a lot of territory there. But the national security, I think that is a larger issue, not just talking about dairy products, but production of our own food.
I think it is a huge issue for us in this country. You know, we get a lot of products brought in here from other countries, and I'll talk about China for one. We get electronics and a lot of other products brought in here. I'm okay with those kind of situations, but I am very fearful of having our food produced in some countries that do not have the standards for quality that we do and the regulation that we have in our country, because we live in a country that has the most safest and abundant food supply in the world. And the last thing that I want to have happen for my children and my grandchildren is to depend on a country like China or an Asian country that does not have the standards that we do for food quality. So I think the food security issue is just a huge issue that we keep control here in our country and Pennsylvania of the food we produce, because it's the most abundant and the safest in the world.
Second part, as far as distribution of excess or overproduction, you have been involved, the Dairymen Association, the Center for Dairy Excellence, have been involved in many programs to provide some of that milk and some of those dairy products when there has been excess, right?
We have. There's some interesting things going on in the agriculture and dairy industry over the last years, and I'll lead you down the road of something that came up just about 3 years ago, that the dairy farmers in Pennsylvania realized that that milk was one of the most requested items in food banks. And it's connecting the dots is what we're trying to do, Scott. We at sometimes and right now historically we have an abundance of milk. Obviously, we're talking about that. So why don't we get it in the hands of families that really need it? So through that program with the food banks and Feeding Pennsylvania was developed a program called Fill a Glass with Hope.
We talked about it on the air.
And it's a charitable. A program which people are allowed to donate money so that children and families in Pennsylvania that do not have access to it can get provided milk to them. So you can go to feedingpa.com/milk. You could donate some money to the food bank, and they'll purchase milk to put into families in need. Over 500,000 children in Pennsylvania are food challenged every year.
Hey, Lolly, I'm going to catch you off guard here.
Okay.
You were looking at your cell phone when I first met you this morning, looking at the futures. What's going on right now?
So we've seen...
No, wait. Are you looking at your phone?
I'm not right now. I'm paying close attention.
Well, no. Okay. Do you know? Because I was hoping you were going to look at your phone and give us up to the second. See, now,
Jane's more on the ball
than
I am.
Okay, Jane. Let us know what's going on. I'm just curious because why I point this out is... They were on their phones this morning when I first saw them, and they weren't, like, texting or looking at Facebook. They were looking at commodities. All right, so, Jane, what do you see right now?
So, actually, right now, commodities are pretty flat today.
Okay.
But over the past week, since the trade tariffs started talking, commodities have fallen. Dairy, class one, class three, milk sales have fallen about $1.50.
And that's due to the tariffs.
Talk of the tariffs.
All right. Yeah. You're also looking at weather there too,
right?
Yeah. So how do cows react when it's hot like this weekend?
Well, the reason why people watch the weather right now isn't necessarily because of the cows, although heat does affect the cows. They tend to struggle. It's important. Cows' ideal temperature is between 30 and 70 degrees. People watch the weather because of the rain and because of the impact on the crops.
Yeah, I know that, but I was just wondering, and, you know, I think I asked you this question before. Is there anything, too, when the cows are on the ground that it's going to rain?
I don't think so, but I'll tell you what. My cows, just like every other cow housed here in Pennsylvania, is very comfortable. They're on a nice sand-bedded pack. We have sprinklers running over them and lots of fans.
How do you know they're comfortable?
Oh, you can see it. They're happy. They're laying down. They're chewing their cud. You can tell.
You can.
Absolutely. They have personalities, and they can tell you if they're not happy, and they let you know if they are happy.
Are your cows named?
Yes, they are. Okay. Every single one of them.
Now, how do you tell the difference?
You know, they all have their own personality, and you get to know them. They also have visible ID tags, but we have a name for each animal on our farm.
Okay. All right.
Our dairy farmers in Pennsylvania and around the country actually can identify cows and say a 100 cow herd, and they would recognize each cow just like walking up to you, Scott, and they're visibly different and know what cow that is.
Dave, that's the first time I've been compared to being identified with a cow. Kate is in Gettysburg. Kate, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say quickly that for some people, milk causes excess mucus production in the body. And as myself, not a big nut milk drinker, but we aren't actually all as stupid as the guest makes us sound. We know what is in nut milk, and we don't think it's the same as regular milk. And also, I just think that the dairy industry just has to come to terms with the fact that the trend is changing and people are just becoming more educated about what is in milk. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. There are different thoughts out there. And, in fact, we've already gotten an email here about the hormones that growth hormones for the herds as well. So let's bring up some of those issues. Now, you know, as far as, you know, she said that they're not as stupid, people who are drinking it. Maybe that's a little bit harsh, but there are people. We know there are people who probably don't realize that it is not milk, that's not correct. Dairy milk. She was talking about excess mucus. You know, not everything, and I'm not apologizing for you. I'm just bringing this up that, you know, there are some people that it's just not their favorite beverage, that they don't like. They don't like milk. But one of the points that she brings up, and it's a serious one, and, you know, the three of you can address this. There are some people, and it sounds like as if she's one of them, that would bring up the point that this is simple economics, that supply and demand. You have an overproduction of a product, that there are, that the trend is that not as many people are using that product. So dairy farmers, either you adapt, you find something else to do, but that's economics 101.
I'll speak to that a little bit. It is economics 101, and as I mentioned early on, I said that we do have an oversupply at this particular point in time. I think most consumers in the United States of America would prefer that we have a abundant supply of milk and dairy products within the country rather than having a shortage. I believe, Scott, that there would be a few people would have problems if we had a shortage of dairy, which would be cheese and ice cream and milk and everything else, and I think they would prefer to have the supply just where we are. As far as the other question you had,
when she was talking about the hormones with cattle and that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There are no extra hormones in milk. I think that is a misinformation, Scott. There's nothing added to any milk. Milk is one of the most tested beverages and products out there as far as regulatory and control type situations. You also addressed that that people have a lot of other options and don't choose to have milk for their cereal and things like that. I think we are okay with that sometimes. Everybody, we live in a free enterprise. I'm not opposed to people that want to drink something different. I am opposed to companies that have some deceptive marketing and calling products names that they are not, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the nut juices. They are not milk, and I just want people to be clear and be sure they know what they're drinking, that it is not milk.
Lolly, would you ever consider getting out of the business?
No, not at this time. You know, my husband and I were committed. This is what we chose to do. We're generations, like six or seven generations of dairy farmers and farm marketers. And I have four children. The four children have all went to dairy farm as well. So we have some heritage and a legacy to carry on. But we're willing. I mean, we want to change. We want to keep up with what our customers want. And I'll make a comment that I think we need to get whole milk back in schools. I think we've lost some of our consumers because they've swung so far to non-fat milk. It's not appealing. It has no flavor. It really doesn't do anything. You know, it's nutritious to some extent, but the whole milk really has a great flavor. And if we could get that back in schools where students would have a chance to have a good tasting product, I think they would want to drink it more and supplement their diet better than other choices that they could make. But, you know, every consumer can spend their dollar how they like. I just hope that they do it well-informed and not misinformed.
When I mentioned the Consul General of Canada that I had on the program a few weeks ago, and she was talking about import of dairy products into Canada, and she said there's an overabundance of skim milk in particular, and just what you said is what I took from that answer, is that okay, there are people who like to drink skim milk because they want to reduce fat, but the taste is not there for them, and that's one of the reasons that they say that there is an overabundance of it.
Well, it is. I mean, skim milk just does not have the mouthfeel. It doesn't have the flavor. It doesn't have the pleasure. you get from drinking a glass of whole milk. And I think we need to reintroduce whole milk to our students in school so that, one, they have a well-balanced diet, and, two, they get to have a chance to taste a real healthy, flavorful drink.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Stephen in Minersville. Stephen, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say, you know, I really enjoy the ice cream. When we go visit my in-laws, you always stop at the store on 183, and I usually always take up a root beer float while my wife usually gets a, you know, two-scoop ice cream.
Thank you, Stephen.
Oh, you're talking about Wayhar Farms.
Yes.
Oh, so you stopped to get some ice cream.
Yep.
All right.
We stop there a lot. And my question is, next time we stop in, can we name one of your cows?
Sure. We'll post a picture. We have calves born every day, and we're always looking for suggestions, Stephen.
Do you have a name in mind? Don't say Daisy.
Well, my daughter's name is Aubrey.
Okay. Aubrey the cow. I like that.
Hey, Stephen, we have Aubrey we'll be taking to the Kutztown Fair. So come to Kutztown and see it. We have a cow named Aubrey we'll be taking to the fair. You should come and meet her.
All right. Thank you very much. This is a family show and a community show, but I think that's kind of what you're trying to convey here, is that this is a community, that dairy farmers are part of that community. But Central Pennsylvania loves its ice cream. My mother-in-law was just complaining, though, the other day about the different flavors of ice cream that they're coming up with nowadays, that she prefers the standards rather than some of the bizarre flavors.
Oh, we make over 100 different flavors at Wayhar.
Okay, so you have some of the bizarre flavors. Here is Faith in Lancaster. Faith, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to tell you I love dairy. I also now minimize it. And the reason I do, it's upon the advice of my integrative cancer physician. I would just real quickly, if I may, Scott, the reason I'm doing this, I'd love to hear some scientifically valid sources of information that counter this advice. This doctor, and I will tell you, I attribute him to partly helping me keep in remission from an advanced cancer for over 4 years. It's not just this, it's other things. But here's what he's saying, real quick. The hormones and growth factors in milk are supposed to stimulate growth of normal cells, but they act the same way on malignant ones, making them proliferate even faster. IGF, which is insulin-like growth factor, is a potent tumor growth stimulant that can be particularly dangerous for patients with hormone-sensitive cancers.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I hate to interrupt you, but I think we get the gist of it. Let me ask him about that. Thank you very much for your call. I mean, basically what she's saying is that, the word hormone there, but that dairy products, even though she says she really loves dairy products, that it contributed to her cancer. Any scientific evidence to that?
So there's a number of research studies that show that dairy is actually not cancer, does not have any impact on cancer. There's actually studies that show that dairy contributes to improving your heart, can lower different types of cancer, incidences of cancer. And also there's a number of products that are actually, it depends on who your doctor is, what they recommend. Every doctor has a different policy or recommendation. I know when my sister was diagnosed with cancer, she was encouraged to eat probiotic yogurt, and that's a dairy product because it was actually can actually cause improved recovery from cancer. So it really depends on what the doctor's recommended, but there are a number of research studies that actually show that dairy can lower incidences of certain types of cancer.
You know, this, as we're sitting here talking, and, you know, and I'm getting a number of calls from people who are saying, well, I don't drink it because it's not healthy and all that. It used to be, you know, that it was a given that milk was a healthy product, that, you know, babies drank milk. This is what you gave to your baby as they were growing up. If they weren't breastfeeding, then made it to the baby food stage and all that. But it seems as though now we do question everything. We know that there's a lot of research. We know there's a lot of science out there. Where did this all come from? I mean, when did you start noticing that? I mean, lactose intolerant. That was a word 20 years ago, two words we never heard. And we absolutely know that there are people mm-hmm. who cannot handle dairy mm-hmm. products, mm-hmm. that they just can't, they right. can't do it. Is it because that diagnosis is more prevalent now, or just what happened?
That's a great question, Scott.
I always try to come up with great questions.
Yeah.
I feel like I need my nutritionist here with us from the Dairy Council.
Well, first of all, with lactose intolerance, there are products, dairy products, that have the lactose removed from them. There's also a lactate enzyme that you can take to consume dairy. There's options available within the dairy category for those who are lactose intolerant. And that is a real thing. That if you drink lactate milk or you take...
Is that real milk?
That is real milk. It's milk with the lactose removed. Lactose is the sugar in milk that people can't tolerate. So there's different types of milk that have that sugar removed, or there's an enzyme that you can take that allows your body to break down that sugar. There's also some people who have milk allergies, and there's different types of dairy that allow you to consume that dairy product and be able to handle that product. If you're allergic to the protein in milk, there's different types of mm-hmm. Milk, like A2 milk and other milks that you can take if you're allergic to the protein. So there are ways to consume dairy if you have these conditions. But the problem is, the misconception is, there's a lot more people out there who have these conditions that do. And they're not diagnosed, they're self-diagnosed. And it's important to know that milk is very healthy. It does contain 9 essential nutrients. It is the most complete package of nutrition you can get naturally from a food.
Paul comments, I think raw milk tastes better. What are your guest opinion on raw milk?
I'll talk about raw milk a little bit. I think certainly for some people, raw milk would be fine. I'm not an advocate of raw milk. I think the pasteurized and homogenized milk that we get in our stores is a much safer product. Certainly it's an option for some people. Raw milk may taste a little bit better to some folks, just because of the time span between the production of the milk and the time it has been consumed. So it's a personal choice. It's not one that I would recommend to my family or
Why?
My because processed pasteurized milk is a safer product than raw milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see that along the road from time to time outside farms, to say raw milk for sale here. Gary asks, is there a broader effort to increase the variety of butters and cheese for general sale here in Pennsylvania? Incidentally, the price of heavy cream is ridiculous.
He's correct. The value of the price of heavy cream right now, particularly in the summer months, is higher than normal because of the demand of the high cream to make ice cream.
Okay. So what's he talking about, the price for cream?
So if you want to buy cream, if you want to make your own homemade ice cream,
okay.
You would buy it.
Which tastes very good, by the way.
There you go. You can't go wrong with that. It's a nice family activity.
Yeah.
But if you would go to buy a half gallon of heavy cream, it's more expensive in the summertime than it is in the winter because of the high demand for the production of ice cream.
It's a supply-demand situation.
Mm-hmm. But his other question here, he's talking about other uses for, let me just make sure I get back to this, increase the variety of butters and cheese for general sale here in Pennsylvania. Any effort to do that?
So one of the things that the legislators have been talking a lot is how to improve product development and innovation in Pennsylvania. Currently, right now, the reason why Pennsylvania is struggling maybe a little more than other areas is that we are heavily based in bottled milk. We don't have as much cheese and butter, especially cheese, processing capacity here, so that we have started an effort to try to attract additional processors here to diversify our product portfolio and have more Pennsylvania-based cheese and other dairy products. That would help our dairy farmers in providing more markets, and it would help our consumers in providing a wider array of locally produced dairy.
You, and I think you may have just answered this, Jane, but a few times you've mentioned processing. Talk about that, what the process is for processing and why that's important here in Pennsylvania. Because I mean, I'll bring something else up. Very early in the program, we were talking about the challenges that you're facing. I understand that Walmart kind of opened its own processing plant in the Midwest that a lot of dairy farmers are going to. It has had an impact, maybe even slightly, here in Pennsylvania. Talk about the processing process and why that's important and why this Walmart, just for example, has had an impact here in Pennsylvania.
So you mentioned raw milk earlier. Raw milk is unprocessed milk. It's unpasteurized. It's unhomogenized. So when it goes into the processing plant, that milk is tested for safety purposes, making sure it's safe. It's homogenized, which means it's all of the components of milk are blended together, and it's pasteurized to make sure it's safe. And then it's bottled. That's the process for fluid milk. It's an easier, quicker process than making it into cheese or yogurt. Those products to go through the processing is much more complex, and I'm not going to explain processing of cheese or yogurt. But what we have in Pennsylvania, we have an array of processing facilities. We're very fortunate to have many companies in Pennsylvania processing milk into different products. However, most of those companies are based in fluid milk. And having additional companies that can make cheese or yogurt or butter, those type of products that are in demand, that are increasing in demand, would be beneficial to our state.
So, Dave, what's with this Walmart processing plant in the Midwest?
It's an interesting situation as we have a supply chain shift. I'll just briefly mention a little bit about Walmart that you brought up, is that Walmart is one of the largest retailers in the world, and they've begun to become vertically integrated in the dairy industry. And what that means is that they've not only depart to retail product, but they began to process the milk and do the manufacturing and the packaging themselves. So in their quest to have the lowest cost product on their shelf, they are going to source their milk from a place where they can secure markets. In this case, this plant was Indiana, and they will secure milk from Indiana and Midwest dairy farms. So with that vertical integration and a shift in the supply chain, and as large as some of these retailers are, it takes a little bit away from the local aspect of Pennsylvania milk, and it does influence things at the end. I will say at this point here, right here in central Pennsylvania, much of the milk at the Walmarts is locally produced. I'm a little fearful about what's coming down the future with the vertical integration with some of the larger retailers, but that in a nutshell explains this. And that brings me back to, you know, one of our main focuses here is our consumers have a choice in what they want to buy for price and for location. So we want to talk here a lot today about buying local, picking out that PA Preferred logo if you want to buy local milk. The main thing that our whole campaign has done is we've developed a choosepadairy.com website. You can go to that website. You can pick out retailers that have Pennsylvania-produced milk through that Pennsylvania PA Preferred label.
And again, for those people who are do want to support local businesses, that is one of the things that they should do. And probably, and you know, again, we talk about this at the farm show, but not just dairy products, but all Pennsylvania farm products. Look for that PA preferred. Okay, so we only have about 90 seconds left. I want to thank all of you for being with us today. You know, one thing we didn't really talk about, and I hate to even bring this up, but it's mental health of farmers. Understand that that's become a real issue.
It is something we're more and more concerned with. As you have financial stress, anyone, as they face financial stress, that stress becomes chronic and it can have an impact on both your physical and mental health. The farm, many dairy farms have been facing financial stress for, you know, 2-3 years now. We're starting to see, you know, more incidents where they don't know what to do. They're struggling to make decisions, and there is just an increasing concern about that. We have some resources available.
We have about 30 seconds left. So what's the future?
Scott, I'm excuse the pun, but I'm very bullish on dairy in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I think, you know, we mentioned mental health and things like that. Our dairy farmers in Pennsylvania are the most resilient and a group of people that persevere more than any people or group that I know. They're very dedicated to doing their job and caring for their animals and their environment. I think there are a huge segment of our consumers just love dairy. And I think, the fluid milk's one part of it, but boy, all the other diverse things, the milk and the ice creams and the yogurts is part of our life.
Dave Smith, Pennsylvania Dairymen Association, Jane Seabright, Center for Dairy Excellence, Lolly Lesher, owner of Way Har Farms near Burnville. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
David Freed, U.S. Attorney, will be with us coming up on tomorrow's show.